RockAuto.com.
It's time for the most knowledgeable and informative show based around the world of professional wrestling.
Thought we weren't supposed to use that word anymore.
OWW Radio, with your host, Mr. Personality, Alan Wojcik.
It's not my fault I happen to be charismatic.
Along with the loudmouth assassin, the Spud Guy.
I just act that way to get chicks, dumbass.
The resident Aussie, Mace.
I am not going to lie to these people just because it makes them feel good.
Guest starring Kevin Scott as Jamal.
What it is, my mizzles, are y'all chilling for shit, sir?
What? It's time for OWW Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. You can also hear us on UltimateSportsTalk.com. We will touch on everything that is going on right now, live on Sci-Fi Network. Thanks, Vince. Love you much. Thought you had problems with kayfabe commentaries. I'm coming for you next. That'll all take place in our second hour. We'll get into the arresting game that seems to be going on in wrestling these days. We'll do some mugshot stuff. But we're going to get a little political, but not too much. As our press release said, around this time a year ago, our first guest of the evening was the NWA World Heavyweight Champion. And we were prefacing him having coming on because it was the debut of NWA Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, which you can still see Saturday nights at 11 p.m. on KDOC-TV, and you can get it through NWA Wrestling, all one word, no spaces.com. Since then, he's had a real fun year. So we figured around this time, reach out, and who knew he'd say yes. So we welcome back the man who still, yes, he's still the NWA World Heavyweight Champion, and there's some reasonings and craziness there, but we'll try to sort through the truth, the false, the gossip, with the one and only Scrap Iron Adam Pearce. Thank you for joining us once again.
Hey, I appreciate it. And I guess the only thing I would correct you on, and far be it for me to correct anybody, but I would say again rather than still.
Does it bother you, before we get into everything that's happened in the last year, does it bother you that your name's being tossed around in all this gossiping? Like, it almost feels like this is a Hollywood story or something that's involving, like, an ex-girlfriend, and they cheated on you, and you cheat, and all that. Does it almost feel like that way to you? You're just looking, going like, this is the wrestling business, man. This isn't how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, well, I think you kind of answered it right there. It is a wrestling business, and in the past 10 years or so, I think things like this are really contributory to the fact that, in a lot of ways, I think on the independent level, our business is dying. And I don't like being attached in any way to things that I really have very minimally to do with, because I feel like it's embarrassing for everybody. It's not a situation that I think anybody involved in can be proud of one way or another, regardless of what side of the fence you may happen to sit on. I think, if everybody's wallowing in shit, it really doesn't matter which one stinks the least.
Does it bother you that everything you've worked for, the three, now you're in your fourth title reign, is getting sullen by all of this stuff that's gone on that we'll address in a couple minutes? Does it bother you at all that you're sitting there going, I had nothing to do with this, and I'm getting hit with the scarlet letter here?
Well, not really. And the reason why I say that is because my schedule is as full as it has ever been. And the people that I work with and the people that I work for know that I do good business. And I think those who really understand what's going on, and I'm not pretending that I'm one of them. I think the information that I have is limited at best, and is different depending upon who you talk to. I'm a bit player in this. You know, I'm a guy that shows up with his boots and tights, and I do what I'm told. And I think, moreover, that is what my reputation is, and I continue to live by that without getting involved in he said, she said, or the public backlash one way or another. I just prefer to show up and whether I'm wearing 10 pounds of gold or not, and do what I'm paid to do. And that's what I've done for 16 and a half years, and that's what I'll continue to do until I'm done.
Yeah. As I said, we'll address the fans are sitting here going, what's he talking about? We'll address all of it. When we had Chance Profit on the show a couple weeks before the recent Ohio State Fair show, he seemed that he was really excited for this event. Had you encountered him before in the ring, or is this the first time meeting for you guys?
I believe it was the first time in I'll watch somebody tell me I'm wrong, I'm trying to think back. I had been on events with Chance several times. I don't know that he and I had ever actually wrestled. I know that we've been on the same side of things in matches before, but never been adversarial. So that was a new one for both of us, I think.
Yeah, he was a very interesting guest and had all unfortunate fun with a certain former world champion, I don't know, called Sting, yeah. Looks nothing like him, but I digress.
Right.
When we had last talked last September, it was around the time that the NWA show was starting up on KDOC out in California. Looking now a year later, do you think it was a positive thing for the NWA? Do you think it has done nothing, or do you think it hurt the NWA to have this show on the air?
I think that all depends on which perspective and which side of things you're looking at. I think for those talents in California who are the recipients of that monthly work and that exposure on the television show, which has done good numbers, solid numbers for a year, which I think that's something to be very proud of. I think there are people within the NWA who look at that, and I think there's a little bit of jealousy out of some. And, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I struggle to find any real concrete one way or another to tell me that it's negative that the television show's been on for a year. You know what I mean? It's done a lot for a lot of people. And if for nothing else, the guys, like I said, that are working every week on TV on KDOC are finding themselves having a little bit more notoriety, especially in the LA metro area, than they would have otherwise. So I think that's a positive.
Unfortunately, Joey Ryan was a part of that, and I guess due to creative differences, he stepped away. Good, bad for the product, do you think? Think Joey was doing a good job?
I think it's bad. Yeah, I love Joey. Big fan of Joey. I thought he was doing a good job with what he had to work with, and I was sad to see how things went down, but like anything in wrestling, I think you never say never. I know that the one thing with Joey stepping down and kind of severing ties for a while, there's no negativity there. There's no hatred, no angst. You know, it's not a situation that that's going to turn into public backlash and this and that. I mean, I know for a fact that Marquez and Joey talk all the time. So there's just some things going on there between those guys that I guess necessitated Joey to step down. And I don't know, if I had to bet, I bet he'd be back at some point.
As mentioned, you had some slight health issues the last couple of years. Can you take fans into what happened? Because on your Facebook page for a while, this was a quote-unquote retirement tour type thing. Can you go into what's been going on with you physically?
Yeah, I mean, it's no different really than I've been describing or had described in February in a tag match, myself and Austin Aries against Scorpio Sky and the aforementioned Joey Ryan. I suffered what amounted to a severe sprain in my neck and a crushed brachial plexus on my right side, which is a nerve bundle that lays underneath your collarbone on either side of your body. And it was real touch and go as to whether or not I was going to recuperate enough on the nerve side of things. The neck itself was good probably within a month. There was nothing broken, no herniated discs, nothing ruptured. I didn't have any of those problems. The nerve issue, it was the one that took forever to really come around. And even today, and I've said this in other interviews, if I was to put a number on where I am versus where I was before the injury, I'm probably 95% of what I was. I do still have some numbness periodically from time to time on my right side, and chances are that's going to be there for the duration of my wonderful years on this earth. So given the chance to come back and wrestle and give it one last ride, is what I'm calling it. I took the opportunity to come in and kind of say goodbye the way I want to, and when the time's right, that's exactly what I'll do.
So how does family, wife, other members feel about this? Are they sitting there looking at you going, okay, you had three championship reigns, you've done this, you've crossed stuff off the bucket list, is there resentment from them that you're still competing at all?
No, not at all. In fact, I think anybody who has an athletic background or has been doing something like pro wrestling for the amount of time that I have, especially on a full-time basis, number one, this is how you pay your bills. And number two, it's how you've been paying your bills for a good portion, of your adult life. And three, you don't want to walk away from something before you think your time is up. And you certainly don't want a doctor to be able to dictate to you, hey, you shouldn't do this. Granted, if my circumstances were worse than they ended up being, and I didn't show progress over the last 4 months of my neurological tests, I probably wouldn't be wrestling, frankly. But with the progress that I made and continue to make, and I still am in rehab, not officially, I'm not going to a rehab facility any longer, but I'm still doing the things that I was instructed to do and making sure that I'm as strong as I can and working as smart as I can to protect that area. I don't think you'd be seeing me take any more bumps on top of my head.
I hope not.
I can function. And if you were to look at me or see me at a restaurant or on the street, you wouldn't know that I have any neurological trauma unless I told you. Mm. And like I said, the symptoms that I have now, the numbness and the tingling, are so far different than what they were in February and March. In February and March, I went a good portion of the day not being able to feel a very large portion of my right upper body. And today, I couldn't even tell you the last time I felt numbness. It's so intermittent, and it's fleeting, and I don't even notice it.
As we sit here, your former company, Ring of Honor, at the end of September, we're taping this on the 30th, and it's airing live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. They're going to be starting with a brand new network. Sinclair Media Group has come in and taken over, and they've actually been a part of, I think they were just a part of a documentary on the National Geographic Channel. Do you still keep in touch with Kerry and all those folks? And as an outsider and a fan of the business, what do you think of this deal? Do you think this is a good thing for ROH? Was it the next progression?
Yes, I think it was the next logical step for ROH. And to answer your question, I still talk to many of the people in Ring of Honor. I have a huge respect for Kerry and for Jimmy Cornette and Hunter Johnston, who's booking the thing now, and of course all the boys. I spent a very good portion of time there working full-time for Ring of Honor for almost 5 years. And I think it was a situation where, if you talk to Kerry, I bet he would concur. He had done everything he could monetarily and otherwise with that brand. He was not in a position to be able to come up with the kind of capital that he thought was necessary to get Ring of Honor on a broadcast platform. And not that HDNet failed, because it didn't. And in a lot of ways, I don't think Sinclair Broadcasting comes in to buy the company without the HDNet deal. It was just the right place, the right time, and the right people. I know Joe Coff and the people at Sinclair Broadcasting are completely behind the brand and wouldn't have purchased it otherwise. And I know there was a lot of trepidation on the hand of the talent, especially because they didn't know the ins and outs of what the deal was and how things are going to go. And I think now they're starting to see that Sinclair's in for the long haul, and it remains to be seen how long that haul will be. But yeah, if it wasn't Sinclair, it would have had to been something similar to that, because I don't know how much longer Kerry would have been willing to keep digging into his own pocket as much as he loves and loved the company. It'd be interesting to see what happens. I'm excited for him.
I asked this question last year, so I'm going to ask it again, being that you're a part of the NWA and you are the flag bearer of the world champion. To get the credibility that comes with that belt, does the NWA as a collective need to have a product on that level of a national? I mean, ROH is going to be, they're not going to be on every area, but they're pretty much going to be nationwide. Is that something, the KDOC show is very nice, I've seen it online, but is that something that Mr. Trobich, David Marquez, and all the promoters need to get together and just say, okay, take some of your matches, and then let's get a national thing somewhere? Do you think that has to happen at some point?
I don't know how to answer that. Number one, I don't know how successful that would be. I think you've got several very different personality types all working under the banner of the National Wrestling Alliance. And again, it never was a national company. It was a sanctioning body, and people think of the NWA having national television, but in reality, that was Jim Crockett who had national television, and he was a promoter underneath the banner of the NWA, no different than things are today. I don't know. I don't know how that would go. I think a part of me thinks it would be really good for the brand, and another part of me thinks that you have too many chefs in the kitchen trying to cook, and you know what happens when that gets together. So I don't know. I don't think that's something that is anywhere close to happening, and I don't know that ever will happen.
He is the NWA World Heavyweight Champion, Scrap Iron Adam Pearce, joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. This past March 6th, it aired at a TV taping. You were defeated for the championship by Colt Cabana, who it seemed like was going to have a very lengthy title reign, and everybody seemed to be like, holy crap, Adam Pearce dropped the championship. What were your thoughts when they approached you and said, okay, this is the direction we're going to go in, before we get to all the fun that happened after it? Thoughts on dropping the Colt, and did you see him, if you were in Trovich's chair, did you see a lot of possibilities with his character?
I am probably outside of his family and maybe CM Punk, the biggest fan of Colt Cabana that I know. And I think, like a lot of people think, he was far underutilized at WWE. And in a lot of ways, I think he's a genius at what he does. And for what the NWA was looking for in terms of finding a next guy, I don't think they could have done any better than they did with Colt Cabana. I still think if you ask me today who I think the ideal choice is to be NWA champion, I will tell you right now, it's Colt Cabana. And I have the belt. So, I mean, I think that should tell you what my opinion of Cabana is right there.
Now, stay with us, fans, because this is where everything gets fun, and this will probably get me in trouble with a lot of people in the state of Florida, but hey, I'm a journalist first. I'm not a Florida boy. April 23rd, the almighty one, the Sheik himself, the NWA Nash, North American Heavyweight Champion. I don't want to mix belts up, because then I'll have the actual national champion knocking at my door going, I'm the champ. Poof. The Sheik defeats Colt Cabana in Jacksonville, I believe it was April 23rd. Were you privy to any information on how long Cabana was supposed to keep the belt? Were you told, okay, because I know how we know as fans, and if you go and look at certain DVDs like Kayfabe Commentary's wonderful DVD in the timeline of history of WWE, Superstar Billy Graham in 77-78 knew, this is the day I'm coming in and I'm defeating Bruno Sammartino for the belt. This is my exit date. I'm dropping the belt to Bob Backlund. Was there ever talk with you personally from Trobich, from anyone in the offices saying, okay, Colt's going to go till X date on the calendar and this will be when you get the belt, or anything like that?
Absolutely. Everybody involved knew the dates, the places, the who's. Absolutely. You can't run a business without having people on board with that. In fact, and nobody knows this, and I'll say it, and I'll probably get in trouble for saying this, Cabana was supposed to get the title a month earlier, but scheduling fell through on that, which is what pushed it out to March. So, yes, 100%. Everybody involved with that picture knew what was going on, and everybody had agreed to it.
Okay, so take us through your day of April 23rd when you were told the Sheik was the new NWA World Heavyweight Champion. Was it shock, confusion? What went through your mind?
Well, no, not at all. I mean, considering what I just told you, that everybody knew what was going on, it was business as usual. I mean, it was designed to be a shock, which is, I'm not trying to understand or put words in the people that write the booking out. I think that's what it was designed for. It was designed to be shock, coming off of what was seen as a really successful program with Cabana. in a really good moment and a lot of publicity. I think NWA for the first time trended on Twitter that night. Cabana certainly did. People from all over the world and all over the industry were congratulating him on winning the title. It was a really big thing for him and for the NWA and for everybody involved in the NWA. And to hotshot that thing a month and a half later, I think the only real reason to do that is to try and capitalize on that and get some equal publicity out of doing the Shock and to this big monster heel, you know, the Sheik running rampant, et cetera, et cetera. So, no, I mean, there's no surprise or anything. It's, again, everybody knew what the score was.
Were you surprised? Oh, shoot, I just lost my page. That's not fair. Give me a minute here, folks. Give me a minute, folks. I'm dealing with some fun weather here. Tampa Bay always makes my computer go crazy. Yeah, I'm going to fire. I can't fire my executive producer. She's 2 years old. how much going into the, according to the internet and everything, the fairgrounds event, the annual fairgrounds event in Ohio was billed as you versus the Sheik for the championship.
Right.
Take us through, if you can, legally or not legally, I don't want to get you jammed up with the NWA, but to your knowledge, what was supposed to have gone down originally on this show between you and the Sheik?
Just what you said, the main event for months and months and months, even before, or actually the same weekend I ended up hurting my neck. I hurt my neck February 12th, and on Valentine's Day is when we got the final confirmation of the dates and the who's and the what's and the where's. That match was set from Valentine's Day for July 31st.
Were you told, okay, are you getting the belt back that day? Do you know what was going on? Can you tell us?
Obviously things have worked out the way they have. The only thing that I will say is that like I've already said, everybody involved in the championship picture, which would be myself, Colt Cabana, the Sheik, and the board of directors of the NWA, all knew who was supposed to be where and who was supposed to be facing who and who was supposed to be going over and who was supposed to be champion. So when that email, that confirmation comes through in February, that was what was outlined. And again, I know that match on February 14th, which was decided for the Ohio State Fair, was supposed to be myself versus the Sheik.
Okay. So that leads to obviously my next question, because if fans were at the fair, note, you didn't face the Sheik. You were in a four-way match with Chance Prophet, the North American heavyweight champion at the time, Sean Tempers, and Jimmy Rave, who petitioned to get in that match. What went through your mind? Did you just sit there going like, okay, so okay, no Sheik. Now I got to get ready for three different people, and they're all gunning for me because I'm the odds-on favorite, being I'm the former three-time world champ. How do you mentally change from I'm facing the Sheik to facing these three gentlemen?
Well, I mean, I think at that point when you realize that half of your main event is deciding not to show up, you need to try and make good on what you promised to the fair. And I feel bad for the promoters of that event to have to go in there with what amounted to, I think, would have been a pretty heated grudge match between two guys who ostensibly simply don't care for each other, whether or not we're talking the wrestling world or the real world. It's just simply the case. And to have one of those participants decide not to show up and then have to change it to a multiple man match, I mean, I don't think anybody was really excited about that, least of all me. But it is what it is, and you have to make good on what you promised, and the world championship match was promised to those people from what I understand, and that's what went on. So, again, I don't think anybody was truly happy with how we got there, but the fact of the matter is we were there and we're expected to deliver, and I think that's one of the points that bothers me about all this, is that, you know, as a professional, you make agreements and you're expected to live up to your agreements. And that's what happened on July 31st.
The NWA World Junior Heavyweight Champion, after the title was taken from the Sheik, Craig Classic, who's been a guest of our show, and you can find the archive of the interview at wildtalkradio.com and owradio.com, in protest, through basically surrendered the championship in name. There's some stories he hasn't surrendered the belt physically yet to either the Barons, Mr. Trobich, whomever.
Right.
Thoughts on that as someone who's held the world title three times and literally, you know, gone now four times. Does this offend you as a performer and a business person that Craig would do this?
You know, I don't know Craig's situation. I don't know what his personal agreements were or weren't with the NWA. As someone who, and I don't want to, I don't want to be privy to that information. I have enough drama in my own life to worry about other guys. The only thing I know is that by all accounts, Craig is a hell of a talent. And I haven't talked to anybody who would put down his work ethic or his dedication to the business. And obviously he's showing a huge heap of loyalty to a friend, which I can also respect. The only thing I would say to Craig is if you're relinquishing the championship, then cut ties completely and return the belt. I don't understand this notion of keeping championship belts when you're not the champion. I don't know what purpose that serves. Again, not pretending to understand what either his nor the Sheik's personal commitments or what their agreements were to Trobich. I only know the things that I was privy to, the things mm-hmm. that I was copied on, and none of that has to do with Craig Classic. So I mean I'm really just commenting as a person on what I think his situation is, which again, if it's me and I'm so taken up and pissed off at an entity for wronging my friend that I'm going to, you know, disavow them and no longer want to deal with them, then I probably would return their property, because why would you want to hold on to it? Mm-hmm. That part doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Are you surprised that Mr. Trobich has kept as silent as he has? Because he seems to be the most wanted person to get a comment on this. Is this standard operating procedure from your experience with Mr. Trobich to not issue any public statements on this whole matter?
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that either, because I don't know that Bob's been involved in something like this, unless you go back to the Todd Gordon, Paul Heyman, ECW thing, which of course he was the attorney for the NWA at that time too. So I'm not really sure where his mind is or what his intentions are. I know at this point, there's some pretty heated things being said back and forth, and I don't know what would be better for him to comment on it or not. And what I will say is I'm glad I'm not in his shoes. I certainly wouldn't want to be reading some of the stuff about me that he is about him. And again, I think this is the byproduct of a very unfortunate and embarrassing situation for everybody involved. And, you know, as I said to somebody else, if the wrestling business is a big diaper, then this thing has left a nice big shit stain in it.
The event that you participated in, for fans that are going, okay, well, I want to see him win the title, Alan, how do I do this? You can go to indieworldwrestling.com, all in word, no spaces, and you can find it there. The pay-per-view is available, I believe, for $4.99, and the DVD of the event is $15. You can also link to it through the NWA wrestling site. Looking at this as a whole now, October 7th, there's going to be a one-night tournament to crown the new NWA World Junior Heavyweight Champion. But looking at the top 10, now that you're back in the seat and the most wanted man with the 10 pounds of gold, who do you see as the top contenders that you need to worry about?
You know, I'm taking the attitude that I always have. I mean, I've always wanted to function as NWA champion in the mold that it used to be, which is as a touring champion. And especially during my third reign, that's what I did. I toured as many NWA affiliates and companies as I could, facing the top guys, and with the goal being to leave them in a step up from where they were prior to our match. And that's the attitude that I've always taken as it pertains to this belt, and that's the attitude I've taken now. So, you know, whoever the top challengers are in any of these NWA affiliates and memberships are the guys that I want to be in the ring with, because I think that's the next crop of guys who are supposed to be charged with the task of carrying on the brand and making sure that the NWA letters don't die, you know, completely due to situations like this. it's going to take an overall effort from everybody who wants to be affiliated with the National Wrestling Alliance, and for whatever reason that may be, those people are going to need to get together and kind of persevere and get past this, because, you know, what amounts to a black eye, in the opinion of many, can certainly be turned around into a huge positive and galvanize the organization and the members of the organization if they really want to be. And that's kind of where we're at now. I mean, my schedule is as full today as it ever was. And in large part, especially now when I'm not working for Ring of Honor, I owe a huge debt of gratitude to the National Wrestling Alliance for allowing me the privilege, and I mean that, the privilege to be a performing, touring, journeyman professional wrestler in a day and age where that simply doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm at.
It's amazing to look on the NWAWrestling.com site. They give the listings that Pro Wrestling Illustrated provided the last date of August 26th. You've been ranked in the NWA listing here, according to them, for 172 weeks. Do you just sit there and scratch your head going, I've really been there that long? That's amazing.
I didn't even know that until right now. That's pretty funny when you think about it. I mean, I guess that would be, you know, testament to being active and to being out there and to working and to into doing, you know, what I perceive to be good business. And, you know, God willing, I mean, there was a time going back here, February, especially March and April, where me wrestling was so far from being a reality that I'm just grateful today to be even able to put on my tights and boots and go out there and perform. And I mean that wholeheartedly. There was a lot of doubt, man, a whole lot of doubt.
If you are a fan of Scrap Iron Adam Pearce, you can find him on Facebook. You can follow him on Twitter. I believe it's Scrap Daddy AP. He will be, he'll list his events on there. You can find him through NWAWrestling.com. Thank you so much for taking time to be here with us. I really appreciate you taking some of the tough questions.
No, I appreciate it. And like I said to you off the air before we came on to do the interview, the scope of what I am aware of is pretty limited, I think. And again, I'm only privy to what people want me to be privy to. And in just being a human being with curiosity, you kind of have to kind of cut through what you believe to be real and what you believe to be bullshit. And there's a lot of it out there. That's without question. But if you don't mind, what I would like to do is just thank the fans of professional wrestling as a whole, mm-hmm. for allowing me to fill my schedule the way it has. It feels really gratifying for me, not only to be able to perform and kind of get back to the wrestling business after so long, but to kind of be able to go out on my terms and when the time is right. And if there are promoters who want to get a part of this and want to jump on the One Last Ride tour, as you said, my dates are all on Facebook. It's facebook.com/scrapironpierce. Been real happy, man, just to finalize Germany this morning. I've got things booked solid through February, it looks like, with some dates available. So hit me up, man. I'm leaving no stone unturned. There's no place I don't want to work at this point. So, as I know, I'm on borrowed time. But I appreciate you having me on, and thanks.
All right, stay with us. Coming up after the break, we will get into all the fun that was at the TNA Impact Wrestling. We'll talk about the taping that went on in Alabama, Jeff Hardy's arrival, and we will do the mugshot fun. That is an interesting trio of Matt Hardy, Shane Helms, and former TNA star Daphne here on All My World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be back.
It's the one and only Eagle Double G.
No, no.
You know what happened with the D.R.P.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know the West Coast is back for all you suckers.
What's up, suckers?
So put something in there. Put it in there. Yeah. Suck, no.
Top dog, fight them all. Yeah, I'm burning it up. DPGC, you should be turning it up. CBT, LBC, yeah, we hooking back up. And when they bang this in the club, baby, you got to get up. Cause homies, thug homies, yeah, they giving it up. Low life, yo, life.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam,
Mr. Kennedy,
Christian Cage,
Barry,
Christy Hemme,
Jay Lethal,
Yesterday,
Brett the Hitman Hart,
the Sergeant Slaughter,
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man,
Paul Hogan, the quickest of all time,
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Woogerman,
and tomorrow,
Peter Wilson, Natty Neidhart,
Harry Smith, Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pro juice, Online World of Wrestling, www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! And when I am not making videos about that faggot, I am listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now what you gonna do, brother, when the Warrior rips off a promo on you?
Have a certain passion. Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons and Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Hey, you, go! Wild Talk! Wild Talk! You want Wild Talk? This is George the Animal Steel. Hey! You go! Bye-bye.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
And welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. Much respect and thanks to the NWA World Heavyweight Champion, Scrap Iron Adam Pearce, for taking time to be with us there. Rumor is the former champion, the Sheik, was listening to this interview. So, hi, Sheik. Hi to Craig Classic, and over 160-some-odd comments on his Facebook page over a statement involving the NWA World Junior Heavyweight title, as I mentioned, October 7th, I believe it is, 1st, 7th. Go to NWAWrestling.com, check that out. The Spud Guy joining us here. The Mace will possibly be with us in the 10 o'clock hour. Kevin Scott, Mr. Jamal is out with his very special lady friend, and I believe watching the Yankees beat the Red Sox. Yay.
Spud Guy's coming straight out of Compton.
Yes. Well, tonight's Dr. Dre night. I figured I haven't done just an artist in a while, so I figured he's got his Boost Mobile headphones out there.
We have nothing but a G thing.
Did I put that in here? There's not that much time to have music on here tonight. No, I did not.
What?
I only have time for so many songs. I got other
That's
stuff.
That's probably one of his most famous songs. This ain't nothing but a G thing. Let
I
me ride.
Know. That's on here. Yep, we've got that. We've got another NWA track and another Drain Snoop. I just grabbed the Express yourself just to exit out of it. Well, everybody, remember, turn the sound down on SmackDown. You don't need to be ear the noise pollution that is Michael Cole. You get to listen to us for 20 minutes before everybody turns off their TVs and says, hey, I want to listen to those guys talk. Forgot to mention this last week. My friend Jillian Stein is a producer in Hollywood, sent this along. Jerry Bruckheimer, the producer of such shows as CSI and tons of films, announced that he is actually teaming up with Dwayne Johnson to form a new wrestling project that NBC is apparently committed to air and is going to partially fund the pilot with the option to pick up the program. The Our TV show will be a 1980s wrestling drama with The Rock serving as one of the three executive producers. Jonathan Littman, who serves as an executive producer on CSI, The Amazing Race, and other Bruckheimer projects, will be the executive, second exec, along with Mr. Bruckheimer. Brett Fletcher and Seamus Kevin Fahey, who wrote Spartacus Gods of the Arena, will be writing the pilot and co-executive produce with Christy Ann Reed, another Bruckheimer associate. Bruckheimer said on his Twitter he was looking forward to working with Johnson, while the former WWE champ said it's excited to work with the producer to create the show. Now remember, while NBC has agreed to air the pilot, it is not guaranteed that it will make it on the air.
Oh, it'll make it on the air.
Right. Now, very rarely does a show that carries the tag of Jerry Bruckheimer ever get sent to a scrap pile. So we've had wrestling TV back in the day. Lyle Alzado did a show that was affiliated with the Crockett's. I think it was called Learning the Ropes, where he was a high school teacher or something, and he was a masked wrestler. And we've had tons of films, but with Bruckheimer involved in this, could get interesting.
I suppose. It's got The Rock on it. They're not going to send it to the scrappy.
There was rumors a while back that I believe it was HBO was going to do a show based around a 1950s or 60s situation in the old territorial days that was supposed to be, I think, a Carolina family running a promotion, and I never heard anything after it, and I was just like, okay, if HBO's going to be involved in that, they've had tons of success, so who knows. We talked last week about Mr. Matt Hardy, and of course, what would be a week? It almost feels like, oh, I'm gonna be working for TMC. Yeah. Apparently, he, fell downstairs or something. Rebby Sky, his girlfriend, said on her Twitter that she's, quote, hurt, exacerbated, exhausted, furious, tired of being lied to, tired of enables, just tired, when she was asked about her opinion on Hardy. We had mentioned that Gregory Helms came to Matt Hardy's defense. Well, Gregory Helms has his own problems, or Shane Helms, as he's known to people. He was in a wreck, I believe it was in May, with his girlfriend. He had suffered a broken jaw, broken nose, 200 stitches, while his girlfriend, I believe her name is Karen Motley, unfortunately, Ms. Motley suffered a broken neck, and we wish her a speedy recovery.
She paralyzed?
Doesn't say. I haven't seen any reports on it. I haven't seen anything lately on them. However, I did see that the Smithfield Police Department decided on August 24th to arrest Mr. Helms, charge him with driving while impaired, kind of similar to Matt. So, okay.
Wait, when was the wreck?
The wreck was in May, and they decided finally to charge him. I guess they.
Out, right?
Well, how long after a wreck can you be charged? I don't know the rules.
Here's the thing: if they didn't test him for blood alcohol or breathalyzer him or any of that at the scene, your body filters out alcohol fairly quickly.
Could they have done the blood and waited for the blood to come back? Maybe he refused the breathalyzer, or he pat me. I don't know.
Sure,
I don't drink, so I don't know the rules.
No, here, I'm trying to explain it to you.
Go ahead, please.
Your body filters out alcohol fairly quickly. And I know in the state of Ohio, the way a DUI works is if you refuse, the breathalyzer or the blood test or both, they immediately suspend your license for 6 months. Immediately.
Wow.
But because there's no test to prove your blood alcohol level at the time, 9 out of 10 times the DUI gets thrown out.
Okay. I know state to state it's different. Obviously, we'll find out, you know, in the coming weeks what.
You mean like this, Rock?
Oh, jeez. I think he had a microphone really in his face there. If that's not enough, we also found out that, I guess she's now a former TNA star, Miss Daphne Shannon Spurhill, also, ran afoul of the law and was arrested down here in, the Tampa area recently for driving under the influence. So, I mean, I don't understand this, maybe because I don't drink. I don't know if this is like you see with a lot of professional athletes, and yes, I'm keeping WWE, TNA, and indie stars lumped all together here, that everybody thinks they're immortal, they're bulletproof, because I'm so-and-so quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, I can get away with whatever I want. Meanwhile, don't mind the guys at the bathroom keeping you pinned in here with me. Was the era when Michael Phelps goes to a party and next thing you know, everybody whips out their phones when he gets near a bong. Oh, the Ric Flair gets an article written about him. Oh, that was just... It was heartbreaking to read. I don't know if everybody has gone to grantland.com. Go to the OWW Genesis forum. We've got the link there. It's been on the Wild Talk Radio page. It was on our Genesis forum that the article was entitled "The Wrestler in Real Life, Ric Flair's Long Steady Decline." And it is not a flattering piece, guys. It is humongously detailed. The gentleman's name is Shane Ryan. And it goes into Flair's domestic and financial issues going back to at least 1990. I know Sorokin's gotten to read it. It's just rough to see someone like this. But Flair said it best on his own DVD. He said, "I was making more money than I was spending, man. I was spending more money than I was making. I was drinking it all out the place." He admits in his own book, which is a great one, that he apparently wants to soothe Mr. Ryan by saying that, "You know, I don't suffer from alcoholic cardiomyopathy, which is basically a disease from the chronic long-term abuse of alcohol. So if Flair's gonna sue, take a copy of your book there, Nate, that I read, and it's on my bookshelf. You said it. So have fun suing." It'd be like me suing. That'd be like me suing the Boston Red Sox for beating my Yankees tonight or something. Which, by the way, as much as I dislike the Red Sox, go to the JimmyFund.org and donate if you can. It is a great cancer charity. I believe it's for children's cancer. So do that if you get a free moment, and definitely help the Red Cross out with everyone that lost. If you're in the Northeast right now, or anywhere that was annihilated by Hurricane Irene, get out there, help some people, donate clothes if you've got any. I donated after Katrina, which amazingly is 6 years ago. That's just scary to sit there and go, wow. I'm off topic, I apologize. If you're watching TNA Wrestling this past week and you're going, you know, something was missing,
Who is missing? Yeah, that would be Cookie, also known as Becky Bayless, also known as Rebecca Treston. Miss Treston is no longer an employee. She's going to be on the WSUI pay-per-view in November. So follow her on Twitter and you'll get all the information out of that situation. Oh, who knows? She may be a guest of ours coming down the road. You can also own a website. You can own DOIWrestling.com. Sean McCaffrey, I believe, has put the site up for sale. So if you want to own a website, go check out all the information at DOIWrestling.com. Sean will give you all the details on that. You can turn it into whatever you want, apparently. I don't know if you want to turn it into a baked goods site. I don't know. TNA Impact this past week, another interesting setup to this Thursday's taping, which was done this past Thursday, which was in Huntsville, where they taped the show that's going to air this Thursday and on September the 8th. And from those two shows, you'll set up the September 11th Bound for Glory series final, which right now is still Crimson leading at 50. Bully Ray, I believe, is 49. Bobby Roode, 42. James Storm, 40. So if things go down the way that are going to go down, spoiler free here, you may end up actually seeing Beer Money versus Bully Ray versus Crimson to decide who's going to get to the champion, Kurt Angle, at Bound for Glory October 16th in Sir Rockin's hometown. Watching this week's Impact was very weird, just from the standpoint of, okay, so we're going to have Crimson versus Kurt Angle. The championship's not on the line. Why are we even having this match? I know I'm trying to put Logic and TNA in the same breath. Impact Wrestling, as it's called.
Is my microphone better?
You were fine before, to be honest with you. I understood everything you were saying. I think some of our chat room denizens were going, I can't hear you. And I was like, well, he's in Ohio. He's not yelling across the cornfield or something.
The mic is better. Is it loud enough, Rock, without me having to yell? All right.
Yeah, I've heard of people hot-shotting Angles and stuff, and we'll talk about that when we get into the WWE channel in a while, but they've been anointing Crimson the last couple months as this undefeated monster, and I'm gonna know he's leading the Bound for Glory series. So instead of letting Amoya wait till October 16th, we decided to put him against Kurt Angle right now on a show that, you know, is 3 weeks away from the pay-per-view where he should be winning a four-way match to get to Angle. Oh, I get the whole thing. Oh, Kurt's pissed. Dixie should have been looking out for me, and I'm going to take out all your stars, and I'm going to start with this guy here. But couldn't they have picked on someone else and worked his way up to Crimson?
I don't know. Watching TNA last Thursday was like getting a saltwater enema.
Ooh. Okay.
Do you realize how painful it is for me to watch that program? And I watched it. And it just, the booking doesn't make any logical sense. You're going to have Samoa Joe come out and destroy people. Great. That's what he did. That's what he did 4 or 5 years ago. Why'd you stop it then? You know?
He got kidnapped by ninjas or whatever the crap happened to him, and we never figured one out.
I mean, really? Why would you... I don't understand why you would take your next up-and-comer in Crimson, do the build-up, work the build-up, and then, never mind. We're just going to do it now.
It's weird.
That's like, it's just, it's redonkulous.
And could you have done this at a house show just to test the two of them out where you don't have cameras rolling just to say, hey, you know, like WWE does where, you know, you guys are going to go to the pay-per-view. Why don't we do a couple tryout matches here? We'll go to somewhere and we'll do a couple matches. Would you have felt more comfortable doing that instead of showing us off in front of all these fans? Just felt really forced.
Everything TNA does feels forced, man. Everything. What are you going to do?
I don't know. Go ahead.
It's going to go on. What they need to do with this is just finish whatever the hell they're doing and just forget the stupid angle ever happened.
Well, unfortunately, it's almost like they're piecemealing together this Bound for Glory series thing because Morgan is sitting on the shelf. However, he said through his Twitter account that he's been cleared to get back to work. So yay to him. We're happy. Nobody likes to see someone sitting at home injured. But they're doing an angle now where D-Von is injured. So you've got two people in this Bound for Glory series not doing anything. Samoa Joe's in minus 10. I guess this is what happens when you book TV 3 weeks in advance. Sometimes the audience even maybe just going like us going, lost interest.
Did you happen to see, did you happen to see the story with Kurt Angle and Dana White?
Oh yeah. It's fun when you come up with some neat stuff. You go ahead and preface this for the fans that don't know what's going on. If you want.
Kurt Angle was talking to, I don't know if it was in a tweet or if it was an interview, but he had, he was asked a question about leaving TNA, and he said there was a time about a year ago where he had considered it and that he was going to go join the UFC, and that Dana White flew him out to Vegas. He passed the physical, and Dana White offered him a contract.
Oh, wow.
And Dana White's response was, love Kurt Angle, but not true.
Okay, he was doing it. I just found the note here, too. Kurt Angle was discussing his role in the upcoming Lionsgate feature Warrior, starring Tom Hardy.
Right.
Okay. Dude, if he was 33, maybe I would buy that, but at 43, you know, Randy Couture is how old? Just off the top of your head, remember? Anybody?
40.
Couture is
44, 45, somewhere in there.
Okay, and he's been in mixed martial arts for the last 15 years, maybe, of his adult life. You're going to take Kurt Angle, who's never been in an MMA situation. Yeah, and okay, you've got all these numerous injuries that WWE didn't want to sign you with years ago, and you're probably still working hurt at some point, and now you're going to take this person and put him in with some guys who are trained killers, as we saw on what I've been calling the rigged Brazil versus the World Ultimate Fight Championship from Saturday.
Those were actually really good fights. I went back and watched the whole event.
It was fun. Everybody from legit, Brazil won.
They were legit finishes. It was just,
I know,
odd, in quotation marks. It was odd that Brazil won all of them.
Well, they had to. It was a fight between two Brazilians at one point, so somebody from Brazil was going to win. I thought it was funny that the first three matches were straight up first round knockouts. Some Typhoon and Mace going, the one night Spog doesn't show up, everybody's first round knockout, knockout, knockout.
Go Brazil! Which one? That one! They're both Brazilian!
Yeah, that was just amazing. Everybody, I know I'm kidding around. Hopefully people know I'm kidding around that I think MMA is fixed, but it felt like a wrestling event, whereas if they weren't from Brazil, they got booed out of the damn building, walking to the ring, walking to the octagon. It's like, wow. And that, was it the middleweight champion that fought the main event? Silva's his name?
Yes.
I pronounce his... Silva. Oh, it's Anderson Silva. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That guy, I believe I've seen him fight once before with you and Mace, and I just kept remarking that it was just one of those, I'm watching this guy, and I'm like, okay, why? I get you're a Muhammad Ali fan, but he left himself open. Then I realized why. I was just like, damn. And people like Forrest Griffin, who I've seen a couple of times watching with you guys, got knocked out in the first round. It's like, for all the times that we sat there the last couple UFCs, Mason had said, I don't know if I'm going to watch this one because the last couple have been boring. This was some good stuff on there. And so maybe the pressure of UFC going to Fox Sports is why we're seeing what we're seeing now. So we're going to take a brief time out. We're going to see if Mace is around. We're going to reset as Friday Night Smack. Oh, sorry, Tuesday Night Smack. Oh, wait, it's Clash of the Frickin' Champions, kids. Just call it what it is. All I Will of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network and UltimateSportsTalk.com. We'll be back after this commercial break.
Very necessary, blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it gets funky when you got a subject and a predicate. Add it on a dope beat and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach, cause they don't flow like this one. You know what, I won't hesitate to diss one or two before I'm through, so don't try to sing this. Some drop science, well I'm dropping ink.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when WTR roasts Tim Stein.
Tim Stein is also not Jewish. It's horrible to assume the man is Jewish just because his name is Stein. You know, maybe that isn't even his real name. I mean, it's probably Goldstein or Steinberg. You don't know. He'd tell you himself if he were here tonight. I'm told he's taking the day off for some holiday of his. I don't remember what it's called, but he pronounced it with a...
Tim really does work hard at making the WTR network what it is. Seriously, I'm not joking. Somebody pay this guy. He's like 65 years old. He needs retirement. He gets retirement. We get less Tim Stein. It's win-win, gang. Come on.
Happy birthday. You suck. You suck. You suck so bad. That's not true. You don't actually suck. You more or less blow. You've got a perfect face for gay porn, or at least a perfect mouth. That's what JJ tells me.
He's also not a pervert. The last couple of years, he had a wonderful and healthy relationship. He stayed with her every night, constant, wild sex. You know, it's sad when they had to break up because he couldn't find the puncture repair kit. Don't get me wrong, they tried to patch things up, but Tim just couldn't bear the sight of her anymore. Not with a duct tape holding her neck closed.
Tune in to all the great programming on the Wild Talk Radio Network, as you never know what will happen next.
Wednesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Otuttle Talk Live.
I got a 15 on the intelligence.
Okay, what are you doing with it?
Trying to find a slinky.
Okay, you find a slinky, but it's one of those cheap, new plastic ones.
That's fine. Go to the top of the stairs.
I yell, watch out for pink energy.
Duck.
Okay, since he is smart enough to say duck, he dodges the duck that swings down from the top.
Duck and dodge pink can ducks and any other flying object.
Okay, you also ducked the free pussy that flew by, but that's okay. You're now at the top of the staircase. With a slinky in hand.
Put the slinky on the top stairs and tip it over.
I get our following to, Shaniqua's following to, members, and we all start going, go, 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 go.
Alright, hang on a second. Oh, the slinky stops halfway down.
Oh!
God, I hate when that happens.
Ha 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 ha
it. I'm going to roll for the steal and the win.
Wait, what?
LEB Rules, Chapter 7, Subsection 15.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, roll a d20.
I hope Bob Barker doesn't own this castle.
For more geekiness, tune into Otaku Talk Live 9 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
All right, this is the king of old school, Mr. Wrestling 3, a true legend in professional wrestling, Steve Corino, and if all those nicknames didn't really matter to you, it doesn't matter to many other people, because you're listening to the online world of wrestling radio with Al Mojadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjad
dreams, but no sooner as I said it, seems I got sweated by somebody with a tech nine trying to take mine. You wanna make noise, make noise. I make a phone call, my homies coming like the Gotti boys. Bodies being found on Greenleaf, playing with the heads cut off. Motherfucker, I'm straight. So listen to the play by play, day by day, rolling in my phone with 16.
Welcome back to the second hour of Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. If you missed the opening hour, you're a dumbass. No, I'm kidding. You missed the NWA World Heavyweight Champion Scrap Iron Adam Pearce, going into everything that has gone on with his now fourth reign as the world champion. So you tomorrow Yes, Spug is in heaven as Andre Young, better known of his fans as Dr. Dre, is the music for the night.
I still can't believe you left out Ain't Nothing But a G Thing.
It's a 2-hour show, I'm sorry. Not much I can do. If we were 3 hours, then I would have thrown it in there. I would have played the whole Chronic album for all I, you know, everybody would have been happy. So thanks everybody for turning off Sci-Fi Network, or sorry, just Sci-Fi as it's called now, and joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. We're here every Tuesday night. We're world champs. 3 weeks worth of guests that are booked. Yeah, it's amazing to have said, and I'm saying Adam Pearce, I said, this is great. Tonight and the next 3 weeks are booked already. I don't even have to do anything. I mean, I could get a second guest for a couple of the other nights, but it'll be fun. Mace is joining us here. Mace and Chinese food. Did they deliver, or did you have to go beat up some Chinese people to get your food?
I beat the shit out of little slant-eyed peoples.
Are you allergic to Asians? Like, I'm allergic to black people?
No, I'm not allergic to Asians because I like eating their food.
Before we get into Friday Night SmackDown, Monday Night Raw, and other stuff, Spug mentioned he had rewatched some of UFC Rio. Overall thoughts from you, Mace, on the show, other than, like I said, final score, Brazil, I think 7, the world, none.
Yeah, it was alright. Wasn't like the most, oh my god, awesome show I've ever seen, but it was better than a lot of the stuff we've seen over the last couple of months.
I know you guys do this on From Tapouts and Knockouts, but I wouldn't be a journalist if I didn't ask this. He's been labeled the best pound for pound in the business. What's left for Silva to do? Although there was, does he go up in weight, go down in weight, just lay out random challenges?
His next challenge is to fight the greatest fighter in the world, the GSP is.
Interesting.
You mean we're finally getting that one at, like, catchweight?
I don't think it's going to be a catchweight. I think GSP is going to take a year off and move up. Uh,
and move up. Because GSP walks around at 215. I mean, when he's not fighting, he walks around at 215. So he's got to get down to 180 and be comfortable at 180.
That's a lot of weight to drop, isn't it?
Well, he goes down to 170.
Wow.
He fights at 170.
Well, I guess it depends if you do the weight loss over a certain amount of time. You're not going to just do the Jenny Craig. Hey, look, I dropped 35 pounds. Hey, it's a supermodel.
Just love off a leg. It's all good.
You got to remember, dude, they're fighting. They get 4 months, you know, between fights usually. So.
And they're working out, what, almost 8 to 10 hours a day sometimes. Some
yeah, they're training a lot. So, yeah, I mean, they're dropping that weight pretty quick. But he's got to be able to move and be comfortable at 180 or 185, whatever middleweight is. I think middleweight's 185. He's got to be able to be comfortable at 185. So if you're gonna do that, if he's gonna move up a weight class, he's gonna need at least a year and a couple of fights in the middleweight to be comfortable fighting that weight class and be comfortable with that weight before you even book the fight with Silva. So we're probably a year off from a year or more off from seeing GSP and Silva fight.
So that's like the ultimate money match right now in the ultimate fighting is those two?
That would draw more than Pacquiao Mayweather. I guarantee it.
Well, we'll see as we go down the road. The reason I brought UFC back up again, a lot of email came in at radioonlineworldofwrestling.com over these two WWE super shows, or as I've taken to calling them, the Clash of Champions Revisited, that we're seeing this super show like we did because, you know, the next couple weeks, Monday Night Football's back on the air, so you're going to see the traditional little drop-off in the ratings, and of course, I believe, you know, granted it's going to be on a Saturday night, but still, Ring of Honor gets their Sinclair Media TV thing going. And oh yeah, there's that 800,000-pound gorilla we mentioned, Dana White, earlier. They're going to be going to Fox Television. Is this stuff, Mace, just WWE going, yeah, NFL's coming back, let's blow the wad out here before our Night of Champions pay-per-view and see how we can, if we can spike the ratings, or is this a move to a new era, as Helmsley hinted at last night, saying that, you know, Raw superstars and SmackDown superstars are going to appear together. If there are 9 years, 10 years, we're actually going to see the end of the branding thing here. Which one do you think is going to happen here?
I have no idea what's going to happen. By the way, Triple H was making it sound that it was going to end up being the brand split ends only on Raw shows. But then again, I've been out and about this morning, so I haven't had a chance to see SmackDown. Probably won't get to see it till Friday, so I don't know if other information has come forth from that show about this idea.
We'll get into that in a couple moments.
Okay. But I don't know. It could have been just a way to promote the live show on SmackDown. You know, hey, we've got a live SmackDown tomorrow night. See all these guys over on Sci-Fi. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it could also be that they've finally realized, hey, we've got a small enough roster. Thankfully, we can now bring both brands together and run as one company instead of separated brands with separated rosters and all that other crap. Because you got to remember, they've just gone through some spring cleaning, and there's probably going to be more to come as we get towards Survivor Series.
Your thoughts on this whole thing, Spug? Your husband's doing some interesting stuff. Is this the end of the brand thing? I mean, you're obviously still going to have two television shows like you did before the brand split, but you're going to see a lot more interacting. You've seen it recently. Del Rio, even before he won the championships, been appearing on both shows. Your tag champions and your Divas champion can appear on both shows. So are you fine with this? Are you cheering this on? Or are you sitting there going, nah, I kind of like this whole brand thing?
I've been a proponent of the brand split ending for quite a while now. So, just saying.
Okay, so if you eliminate this brand split and Helmsley rules all, Teddy Long's obviously got to be put
somewhere. Still be two shows.
Okay, but do you still keep the different GMs or figureheads on the shows if you're creative, or does it have to be under one person to rule the kingdom, so to speak?
There's different territories to every kingdom, and they all have their own ruler.
Because I don't want to see Teddy go away. I like Teddy.
Who doesn't like a good Teddy?
I mean,
especially
when
they're purple and lacy.
Hey, no. Teddy Long, not the leg negligee, you crazy man. I mean, it's still all these years later. I just want to look at them and just start chanting Peanut Head for some reason. I get them flashbacks to Steiner's versus Doom and Rick Steiner chanting Peanut Head. We'll tackle Monday Night Raw first. It was the Raw Super Show. Okay. As we mentioned, Triple H is saying that Raw and SmackDown stars will appear on each Raw each week. Had a neat little promo with Punk and Kevin Nash questioning Triple H's backbone and who wears the pants in the family. And you know, we saw her at the pay-per-view, at SummerSlam. Is this teasing to you? I hope this isn't the case of, Stephanie coming back full time on TV and I don't know, even maybe getting involved in this match that is gonna take place now at Night of Champions, Triple H versus CM Punk Mace?
No clue. I can't even remember what the hell happened on Raw. But then again, I also have fried rice and nom nom nom.
You did not get this intellectual insight on other programs, and I'm very happy to have these gentlemen here each and every week. Let me run the rundown. As we said, good opening contest. World Heavyweight Champion Randy Orton defeats Dolph Ziggler. We had John Cena come out. Yay, Cena talks. So not excited. He's interrupted by Mark Henry. He's interrupted by Christian and all the people in the free world that you'd expect to come save John Cena's butt. The last person I would have thought of would be the guy who a couple years ago put him through a table to win the WWE Championship. And that's Sheamus. It was just mind-blowing. All of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and I'm going, okay, cool. Here's Sheamus. We're going to make this three on. Wait, what are you doing? No, take the guy in the red shirt and beat him up. Don't stand next to him.
Why is it such a shock to you, Alan? Sheamus has been turning face on SmackDown for the last few weeks.
Yeah, no, Raw fans, I don't know, continuity, you know, every now and then you forget that you despise the guy and he put you through tables many times. Bygones be bygones, because Christian and Mark Henry are staying across from me.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Ah.
Or he could have been having one too many beers in the back. Fella.
You never know. We had both Johnny Ace and Triple H, or as he's affectionately known on this show, Johnny Laryngitis, set up the match that was the main event of Sheamus and John Cena taking on Christian and Mark Henry. Before that, we were treated to another good match, CM Punk taking on The Miz, where Punk wins via DQ with R-Truth coming out, getting involved, and of course, here he comes, the former big sexy giant killer. And as I said on Twitter last night and on Facebook, they are Truth with a run-in, Kevin Nash with a walk-in. Power bombs the daylights out of CM Punk. The rumor going around, and we'll get to it in a minute here, is there's some health issues going on, which if that's the case, if he's got health issues, why even let him get in the ring to do a powerbomb? This is the same gentleman who on his debut in a tag match a few years ago, just getting in the ring and doing one move, ripped his leg apart. And I'm sorry if I'm offending Kevin Nash fans, but for years I was a fan of the big sexy one himself, but now I'm just sitting there going, dude, why?
Click, 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 click.
Yes, put your remotes down.
No, that was Kevin Nash's knees.
Okay.
You gotta remember, that was the second half of that jerk in the Punk primer.
Ah. I know we hinted on this last week, but the promo work between these two, is it almost like Nash is standing there with a piece of paper in his hand, reading it verbatim, and Punk is just running circles around him? Do you see that going on, or are we looking at this the wrong way?
Probably looking at this the wrong way. It's one of those things of a generation gap. You know, Nash's generation, very scripted promos, or dot pointed as they were as well. But Punk is used to free-flowing. He's one of these guys who actually has the ability to free-throw. Free-flow his promos. And it just shows the difference in which generation, you know. It's no real fault of Nash's. The guy, unfortunately, is stuck with, like, really crappy promo writers backstage. But he's also going very, you know, backstagey, you know, like in the original promo, he was talking about the downside guarantees, and he brought that up again this week. You know, whereas Punk's like, nah, gag, I'm going to have some laughs, you know. He likes playing it for the boys backstage.
Kind of harkens back to old Shawn Michaels stuff from around the 96-97 era, where it was just Shawn just sitting there and going, okay, let's see how far across the line he can jump tonight, kids. Do we see him coming back at all here? Because a lot of people on Facebook and Twitter last night were going, they're getting the band together, and Hunter's doing his thing with Nash. Is anybody sitting there going, dear God, stay in Texas, please. Do your hunting show. Don't come back. Because they put the NWO music last night, and people immediately jumped and going, NWO? Okay. Scott Hall's a little busy trying to get his life together, and we wish him the best. Hogan's a little busy destroying a company. Do we possibly see this actually happening, or is this just, we don't want to play the D's music anymore, okay, cool, you're NWO for life, here's your music, buddy.
It's quite possibly that type of thing, like they're trying to separate the Diesel gimmick from Kevin Nash like they have done for many years. And what other music has Nash been associated with really well? That's the NWO music.
The music of Oz, man. Bring the Oz music back. Bring it back. He should have a night where
only
he comes
if
down.
He wears the turban.
I think that would be funny. I was talking about that with someone the other day about how many gimmicks so many superstars have had, and he's one of them that I just went, okay, he went from a Master Blaster to Oz to Vinnie Vegas to Diesel to Kevin Nash. It's like, can he wrestle in all of those on one show? Have five different, have him wrestle multiple matches where it's like, all right, cool. It's like when Cactus Jack, Dude Love, and Mick Foley were Mankind were all in the same place. Let Nash do that. We had Sin Cara, which is either Hunico or Mystico or I don't know a co.
It's Hunico, but Hunico also but wrestled under the Mystico gimmick at one point.
Yes, keep that in mind as we go further on our scorecards, kids, that the original Mystico was the one who wrestled Heath Slater on Friday Night SmackDown that had the match not only once, but had it twice, because apparently the first time was such a botch fest that WWE officials, including Vince McMahon, made that match go back out to the ring a second time, which when you look at Friday Night SmackDown, everybody wonders, well, why is it taped? Now you know why. Does it matter really who's under that hood? As long as they can actually
the WWE,
compete.
No. They could put anybody under that hood, and as long as they go out and they act like Sin Cara, that's
they
all
did
that
it
they need.
Doink.
Yeah, don't forget Matt Bourne, Steve Kern,
Chris Jericho.
So anyhow, thanks to little help from the U.S. Heavyweight Champion Dolph Ziggler, Sin Cara defeats Jack Swagger. Your new WWE Tag Team Champions have the nickname now of Air Boom. They defeated David Otunga and the man who so wants to be called Joe Henning. Hey, we're going to call him that here. If Michael McGillicuddy gone, he's Joe Henning. Thank God.
Did they dump that finally?
He apparently took to his Twitter account or Facebook, one of the two, and it said that he wanted to be repackaged as Joe Henning. And I'm like, what do you mean repackaged, dude? That's not a repackaging. But I would like to see it happen somewhere as well. Thoughts on the nickname? I know Sorokin put in another name. You didn't vote for Air Boom. If you can type into the chat thing here for me, you voted for something else. Do these guys even need a nickname?
They could call them Ebony and Ivory. I don't know.
Ebony. And Ivory.
I guess Air Boom works. I don't know.
Here comes the boom!
Hey, look at that. The boss is here.
It was better than their idea of, like, Legion of Boom, and I'm sitting there going, there's a certain Hall of Famer that might have a problem with that.
Damn, there'd also be a record company that has a problem with that, since that was a record by the Crystal Method a few years ago, the Legion
of Boom.
It's
also a great song by the Crystal Method.
Yeah, pretty much. Saw them in 2004 play. So, yeah, I definitely think Joe Laurinaitis might have a little problem with that, if that's who you're alluding to. Yeah, we've had people get upset about the 99 Art and Beth Phoenix possibly being called the Sisters of Destruction or whatever they're going to call them there, but I guess Air Boom
Divas
works.
Of Doom, I believe.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's not as offensive. I don't know. But got to find an opponent for these guys.
Yeah, because, you know, you can't put them up to release guys pending. Or the tag team of Future and Endeavored.
Coming soon.
I reckon. But speaking of the Divas of Destruction or Divas of Doom or whatever they want to call themselves, they do pop up later in Raw, as I'm sure we'll allude to. And I gotta say, all of a sudden they look like clones. Like the whole Bella Twin thing, they could do that shit.
Yep, you're alluding to them sitting there watching Brie Bella and a little bit of twin magic defeat Kelly Kelly, with Eve Torres standing there. It's like, Eve, low, twin thing, you met, how did you miss it?
Well, it was because she was helping Kelly Kelly off her back. Again, another Monday night for Kelly Kelly. But one thing, like, they showed Beth and Natty backstage going, you know, why aren't we getting any respect? Why aren't we out there wrestling? Girls, walk past the TV, past the gorilla position, go out there and get you some. They're meant to be the tough, you know, we're not going to sit back and wait for our turn divas, yet they're sitting back waiting for their turn. Go out there, create some havoc and mayhem and fun stuff.
And do it in a dress and heels. Because that's what they've been wearing the last couple of weeks. No offense
to
them.
They have a very Betty Page pinup glam look going, which, well, I suppose it works for them, but works against their gimmick. I still don't understand it.
Do you agree with this one at all, Spug? Are they taking their time setting up Natty and Beth, laying out everybody?
I think they're taking their time setting it up. But to be quite honest with you, I don't... the rushing that doesn't make much sense. I mean, you have them getting ready to destroy Kelly Kelly anyway, so I mean,
Do we want? I know we're speculating, of course, on this pay-per-view card that's not locked yet. There's still only three matches locked on this one, and we'll talk about those in a second. Do we want to see Kelly Kelly versus Natty at this pay-per-view, or do we want to see a triple threat type thing?
Handicap match. I just want to see Kelly Kelly get the shit beaten out of her. And yes, Bug, I hate on her because she's prettier than I am.
That's fine.
At least I can admit it.
Okay.
What?
That was uncalled for, sir.
Yes, don't forget you can write them at admin@wildtalkradio.com.
That'll be going through the Tim, if you want my email address, get stuffed.
Yeah, you can write the Grand Poobah, the big man who is visiting us in our chat room here. Tim Stein is here. We're very happy to be blessed with him each and every week.
Just remember, any complaints asking for me to be fired will be ignored, just like they are ignored for everybody else.
Your main event on this show was the first time team of Sheamus and John Cena taking on Christian and Mark Henry. I joked around on Facebook and Twitter last night. Hey, it isn't Arn Anderson and Ric Flair versus Sting and Luger, but it was still entertaining. Should it have completely ended the show as opposed to the cut-ins that we had with Punk and Triple H, or should you have done the Punk Triple H thing before the match? Or did it not even matter? That's to either one of you.
I don't think it really mattered, to be quite honest with you. I don't.
Okay. To Mace, now we've heard stories that one story is Kevin is pulled out of this match at Night of Champions due to a movie role. Now, I haven't gone to his IMDb page yet to see if there's a movie role or not. Another one is there's quote-unquote health issues, which, as mentioned, if he's got health issues, why keep pushing this thing? And as we'll talk about in a few minutes here, have him even show up on SmackDown. Why keep this going if he's got quote-unquote health issues?
Because they possibly thought Kevin Nash was healthy enough to wrestle? Despite that being, not true.
So they figured, okay, if he's healthy enough to walk to the ring, he's healthy enough to get back in the ring.
Works for Hogan.
Ooh. Are you disappointed, Spoke, that we're not going to get to see Punk versus Nash at Night of Champions?
I could care less.
But are you excited for your husband's supposed one-night return? And do you buy that it's a one-night return?
No. He's going to put over Punk at Mania and retire.
That's definitely something to look forward to. That would actually be an interesting matchup.
It's going
to
be a good match. What is it? This Sunday? Next Sunday?
The 18th. You've got a couple weeks to build.
It should be good, but I'm of the opinion that Kevin Nash is going to interfere.
Well, we've got a couple of weeks to figure that one out here. Tonight, of course, thanks WWE for impeding on my territory. Love you very much. Had a SmackDown Super Show. And when you look at a two-hour Super Show and you had, four matches on your Super Show? Oh, wait, five. I apologize. I miscounted on one of these. Surprised to have John Cena opening this show. I mean, Sorokin said, well, this is SmackDown. It's not about him. I was like, oh, wait, this will somehow become about him, man.
Who opened up SmackDown?
John Cena. He defeated Wade Barrett.
Eh.
It was actually a pretty decent match.
Again, haven't seen it.
Jersey Girl actually just popped on to my account saying, only movie I see Kevin Nash in pre-production is a something called Judge Ice. That's apparently the title of a film. One is completed.
Does it have Vanilla Ice in it?
I don't know, but that would be funny as hell if it was Vanilla Ice.
I'd laugh. Kevin Nash and Vanilla Ice in the same film? That'd be hilarious! Anyway, continue with your SmackDown while I eat.
Alan, this is where you keep talking.
Hunico, Mystico, Something-a-co takes on Daniel Bryan, and once again, another great way to keep your money in the bank. When they're strong, you have them get beat by the Math Man, who shakes hands. Yeah, shakes hands and then gets kicked in the face for it. Oh, did we see this coming at all? This idea of Sin Bad Guy? He's going Rudo. Then does it even matter? I mean, I don't have the figures in front of me, so I don't know. I know the Rey Mysterio masks sell like nobody's business, but if you go to WWE.com, do they even have a mask?
$75.
It's $75.
Yes.
Holy Moses Malone. Is that what they're charging for Ray stuff too?
No clue, but go to highspots.com, they're cheaper.
Ah.
I think a Ray Ray mask at the SmackDown show we went to in March was 100.
And does anybody really want to pony up that much money for a Lucha mask? I'm never going to wear one, but...
I'd pony up $100 for a Curryman mask.
I'd pony up $100 for a Dos Caras mask.
Yeah, which, speaking of him, everybody was expecting him in the opening of the show. Everybody was expecting him going, yeah, here comes Alberto Del... What's with Double R being here? That's because your friend of mine, Alberto Del Rio, was not on Raw. He was not on SmackDown because he's back in Mexico getting his work visa issue taken care of, just like Wade Barrett had to a while back. And just like I'm sure other folks are going to have to do it. I am so not reading that, Jersey Girl. Oh, my God. She gave me the premise of this film with Kevin Nash called Judge Ice.
Is it as bad as that... That Sid Vicious,
the one with,
Kurt
the
Angle
one with
thing.
Kurt Angle. I don't know, there's the thing. You can read that on your own if you want. It's something about 1884 and welders and miner. I don't know. We did have a Divas match on SmackDown and we had mentioned them, the Sisters of Doom or Ladies of Destruction or whatever. Maybe they should have a naming contest for that, guys. Go to WWE.com and email them going, I want to name the ladies tag team, man.
The Booby Brigade.
Whoa. Silicon Valley.
World's favorite tag team?
I still kind of like Silicon Valley, but hey. They defeated Alicia Fox, of all people, playing a babyface for the night, and your Divas champion, Kelly Kelly. So, poor Kelly, 0-2.
Really? Hold on. That's the premise of that movie?
Uh-huh.
Awful.
Yeah. Won't be having Big Sexy on to talk about that one anytime soon. Before any of the other matches took place, we had the contract signing for Triple H versus CM Punk that I want to say was very entertaining, but I don't know if either... Did you get to watch any of this show, Spug?
What, Raw?
SmackDown, the show we're talking about.
I watched
about
a little bit.
Hey,
I didn't see a contract signing.
Hey, this promo lasted a while, so much that I actually typed to Rock around the time it started going, okay, so they're going to scrap his match with Kali, and we're just going to go right to the cage at this point here, because it was just like, I expected them to start building the cage around them, going, you know, don't mind us, we're in here. And it was another case of very good promo, but I still get this vibe that Mrs. Levesque is going to make an appearance really soon, and I'm not talking about his mommy. It just seems that way. You know, Shane's not around, so you don't have anybody to step in here. You don't have any sacrificial lambs, no relatives to throw in there. So
would you say quite possibly Punk beats Triple H and they do a pseudo-injury angle and we have Stephanie take over the role as COO?
Oh, man, why? Well, I can't, other than those two things, and some you guys might know it if you're in our chat room, let us know, because I honestly can't remember. She's been off of TV for a long while, and she was on during the run with Jericho and the double world titles as his cohort against Triple H. But after that, I vaguely remember her showing up a couple times, you know, to do the whole dream sequence with Vince being in a coma. But has she been off TV long enough that you would want to resurrect her? Oh, she was, yeah, but how long ago was she the SmackDown GM? I know that was at one point. Didn't she surrender it and Paulie became the GM? Okay, so 0203. So she's been off TV possibly that long. Is that long enough for a conscience of people to go, oh, okay, cool, we forgive you for all your past sins?
Actually, looking back on this, she was involved in stuff in 2009, January, February, with Randy Orton.
Oh. Tells you how long ago I was. I wasn't even a part of Wild Talk Radio or Online World of Wrestling in early 09. So I was kind of watching, but not watching to the degree that my wife can't stand now. We had Kevin Nash make another appearance for a guy who's supposedly unable to compete. He came out and getting to another challenge. Fortunately, he wasn't wearing his circa 1996 Great American Bash shirt. Just a little awkward. I think Dale Lagana had put the photo up. A few other people put it
Let's
up.
Let's like, do the time warp again.
Yeah, pretty much. Just like, what the heck's going on here? So instead of CM Punk versus the Great Khali, we're treated to Sheamus defeating the Great Khali via DQ when Jinder Mahal gets involved and all kinds of fun and chicanery ensue. Haven't seen much of this storyline, so are we fine with Mahal pulling the strings here, or is anybody sitting there going, I want Ranjan Singh back, he was way more fun? Or do you not even miss the little guy?
I want Muhammad Hassan.
He's sitting somewhere, I believe, working in acting classes. I'm not 100% sure on that one. Your main event of this evening was a steel cage match that whoever won this is booked to take on Mark Henry at Night of Champions. And yes, Randy Orton survives the steel cage match, so you'll get Orton versus Henry. And you knew it because as soon as the cage match ended, here comes Mark Henry. It's like, hey, didn't I see Alberto Del Rio do this a couple weeks ago? So as of this moment, your pay-per-view is Triple H versus CM Punk, the world champion Randy Orton taking on Mark Henry, your WWE champion, if he's allowed back in the country, Alberto Del Rio taking on John Cena. You still have to book matches for your U.S. champion Dolph Ziggler, which maybe him versus Swagger with Vicky on a pole. Who knows? Still got your Intercontinental Champion Cody Rhodes to be booked somewhere. Kelly's got to have a match. And, of course, Air Boom, if you can find a tag team that hasn't been blown up by WWE Creative. I know we're a couple weeks away here, but who if anybody, would we want to see take on Air Boom at this pay-per-view?
Dink and Doink.
Seriously.
Seriously. They'd be a more legit tag team in this day and age than any throw-together combination that you could find on WWE roster.
I mean, you've got the Usos sitting somewhere. I don't know. I think they're on...
The Usos?
Yeah, I think they're on Superstars sitting somewhere. But if you put, like, Cody and Teddy together, now your IC champ's not defending his belt. Are we fine with a match of possibly Ziggler versus Swagger at the pay-per-view? Do we want to see this match?
Could be interesting. I liked, what was it? Was Swagger up against Orton this week on Raw?
I had Swagger and Sin Cara. And yet Ziggler versus,
it would have been
Ziggler versus Orton.
Yeah. That one I enjoyed. But, yeah, they could wrestle against each other, have a decent match. Vicky could run around going, scary. Who do I choose? Who do I choose? Then she turns around, kicks them both in the nuts and leaves with, like, Alberto Del Rio or somebody. I don't know.
Goes in a full cougar mode. And I'm like, you have the really, I have, you like, have the nicer belt that I can put around my waist and put on my shelf. Who knows? Yeah, so that's possibly your pay-per-view, which is September 18th from the HSBC Center in Buffalo, New York, where they'll be playing hockey soon. Yes, hockey exists. End of September.
It's coming.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It's amazing to think football's back in America starting on September 11th, which still awkward, but hey. As I said earlier, if you missed it, wish nothing but the best to everyone that was affected by Hurricane Irene. There's towns in Vermont that are completely cut off. My wife watches the TV show The Walking Dead on AMC, and she said, looks like some of that stuff, man, with the road just went, like, gone. So I know Kevin Scott's accounted for. Jamal has power. Jamal was safe. Phil Strum lives up in the upper part of New York. So he was accounted for. He's doing fine. However, had his car battery die on him today. So sorry to hear that, Phil. And hopefully you will get better on that front. Some tidying up to do here. As I've always said to you, if you're out and about in the world and you're like, oh, I want to listen to you guys. Well, you can go to wtr.wirenode.mobi. You can check us out that way, or there's an app for that, as they say in the commercials. Oh, we can't do the Mobi thing? Okay, I'm sorry. Type for me, since you're not talking on the headset, type the app thing, so I know it. Or you can just be the overhead voice of doom. It's through Android, right? It's just Android, we're not on Apple yet. We're not in the iStore, whatever it's called. Oh, okay. Go to wildtalkradio.mobapp.at. That's MOBAPP.AT. Want to let everybody know, as I said, I teased before, the next 3 weeks. Oh, it's not in stores. Just go and add that address, and then that's how you get the app. Gotcha. The next 3 weeks of this show are booked already. As mentioned, September is now known as the Month of Honor. Next Tuesday night, September 6th, the former FIP World Champion, the former ROH World Champion, the Messiah of the Backbreaker, Roderick Strong, will make his return to this program after a very lengthy absence. He won't have to deal with any fanboys drooling over him here. On September 13th, we have not one, but two guests. ROH executive Kerry Silken will make his return, and we will also have Eddie Edwards on this show. Ring of Honor just confirmed it to us today that Eddie Edwards will join us.
Maybe a little fanboy?
Well, if you want to be fanboyish, go right ahead. At least you're not 15, so I don't have to worry about you.
Well, fair enough.
September 20th, we will be rejoined by the one and only Jay Lethal, and I'm trying to negotiate with him that we could have a moment with the Black Machismo.
Yes!
I'm working on it. Jay wants you to know that if you're a promoter and you're listening to our program, you can book him through Bill Barons, and unfortunately, let me just find Bill's email address, because he wanted me to email it around.
So are you going to have Jay Lethal back over to your house, Alan, washing dishes again?
He didn't. He cleaned up plates as he ate like crazy. That was all he did. He didn't do any dishes. He mostly chased Abby around the room. Yep, he wanted, where's the address? Come on, Jay. I believe Bill's address is... We'll put it in the release. Don't worry about it. I'm totally blanking on it, and I apologize. I had it typed out, and all of a sudden I lost it. So he will let you know. But, yeah, definitely if you get a chance and you want to book Jay Lethal, that's the best way to do it. We're working on stuff for the 2011 Jeff Peters Memorial Cup. Hopefully we'll have some names announced for that one soon enough. Can you tell us anything about your adventures at MCW Base Brawl the other night? Did you get to be involved in any of the events? I know you were doing your backstage stuff, but...
I stood by the ring and watched out for a little boy with, I think, muscular dystrophy. I was his personal bodyguard all night in case anything came out onto the ball diamond. So... But I got... At the after party, I got to speak with Al Snow, who... sent his regards to the Wild Talk Radio family. Jimmy Hart, whom I got to say all of 5 words to, looks like a piece of orange leather with fresh black dyed hair stretched over a skeleton. He does, man. Like, he's a sweetheart, but he looks so old and frail. Like, if you poke him wrong, he'll fall apart, and then you have to put it back together singing the Bone song. And Mick Foley is way taller than I ever thought he'd be. Like, I come up to his nipple. I mean, that dude's tall. And I told him the story of how he ruined my childhood in 1996.
Yeah. I found, sorry to jump in real quick, it's showbis@AOL.com if you're sitting there going, I want to talk to Jay Lethal. That's how you can get him. And he's a tough cookie to get booked for your show. Was it a good turnout, however?
Almost 1,000 people.
That's nice.
Yeah. It was cool as fuck, dude. I want to be a part of that show.
And were you still wrong?
Yes! Al Snow made it a point to tell me that I was still wrong.
You can go to the archives of Wild Talk Radio to find out what they're talking about. Or you, if you want, we got a couple minutes here if you want to share, do a little story time with Spug.
We were interviewing Al Snow. We were interviewing Al Snow for, Wrestle Talk Radio, and he brought up what was the best match at WrestleMania 3? And unanimously, everybody said Steamboat and Savage. And he told us we're wrong.
That's why you're so wrong.
Right there. Told us we were wrong. And we asked why. And it came down to that we were wrong because it was Hogan and Andre that was the best match at WrestleMania 3 because that's what sold the tickets.
Yep, that's he said that on his guest booker where he booked WWE of 1990, of 2000, whatever, with the 1997 rules. He put Sean Oliver in his place too by saying that.
But that's what he said to us. And as he was walking out of Fuddruckers on Sunday, you know, I shook his hand, I said hi, you know, I said, you know, we're, you know, I was Spug from Wild Talk Radio Network, and, you know, all the guys at WTR, you know, send their regards. And he said, oh, tell them I said hi too. You know, I had a great time on that network. It was one of my favorite interviews. I said, by the way, am I still wrong? He goes, yes, you're still wrong. And he knew exactly what I was talking about when I asked him.
That's awesome. Each and every week, I'm not the only show on this network, and I appreciate being a part of this network. Tomorrow night is the one and only Talker Talk Live, which is Spug Mace and Omega. Any ideas what you boys want to talk about tomorrow night?
No, but Spug might be adopting another dog.
Oh. Particular breed?
American Bulldog.
Interesting.
Mace does have an interesting thing to bring up during the show about a recent article concerning an editor for a tech website going on a dating site, ending up on a date with a former world champion of the card game Magic the Gathering, and then cracking the shits because he didn't mention that on his dating profile and tried to make him look like an idiot, and then posted all that on a Geeky Tech website where she's one of the editors.
What happened? What?
I'll explain more tomorrow night, and I'll tell you more.
I missed the total explanation. I think I found
I will tell you off the air, Spug. Basically, fine. Woman being moron, and we get to, like, call her a moron. It's fun.
Hooray!
Interesting way for a radio show. There is no UFC this weekend, so midnight-ish. It is the one and only CB Radio with the Godfather himself, Rob Parks, Subway, and Sorokin. You can check out the archive of this past weekend's event through wildtalkradio.com. Did we start the great debate of the greatest feud this past Sunday?
No.
So we're going to we shelved it, and it'll be this coming week.
Mace has too much goddamn power.
Tell the fans who the opening round matches are, if you can, please.
Triple H and what the hell is it? I think it's Triple H and Shawn versus Kane and Undertaker, and Foley and Rock versus Sabu Taz.
And there you have it. As I said, next Tuesday night, it is the beginning of the month of honor. It will be the one and only Roderick Strong making his return to us. Only took about a year to get Roderick to sit down and go, yes, fine, I'll do your show, man. So thank you to Scrap Iron Adam Pierce, the NWA World Heavyweight Champion, for being a part of this event, Spug and Mace. I actually got an email about that. I wanted to ask this. Are you still doing Bashing the Books, Mace, or did that project get shelved?
Well, it's been shelved, but I've recently been thinking about making a comeback with that show, so stay tuned on the wildtalkradio.com website as to the future of what that's going to happen.
LordsPain.net is reporting that Matt Hardy has apparently posted a goodbye message on his, on YouTube. So thanks, Matt Hardy. I was hoping to have you on the show, but damn, not gonna happen. So,
if that's what I think it is, Matt Hardy, aim up. We don't want you to miss. Okay, before everybody starts jumping on my back about this, remember my one golden rule. You want to commit suicide, do it properly. Make sure you fucking get it done, and I have no fucking sympathy for your ass.
On that note...
Keep up. That's the best piece of advice I've ever heard.
Thanks, okay, Spug, to Mace.
Can I just jump in with this?
Go ahead. Once again, don't send the emails to me. You can follow all of us through the social networking stuff. We're all over Facebook. You can follow Spug at TapOut2KO on Twitter. Mace is the Mace thing. Rock answers on Wild Talk Radio. Mine is My Name is Wojcik. Thanks to these gentlemen. Thanks to the one and only Dr. Dre for supplying the music tonight. From the movie, a very overlooked movie. Here's your movie reference. Deal with it. Lawrence Fishburne, Jeff Goldblum film in the early 90s. Directed by Bill Duke. The song that debuted Snoop Doggy Dogg to the world. Deep cover taking us out. Online World of Wrestling Radio. Powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. UltimateSportsTalk.com. We're here each and every Tuesday night. Thanks and have a great evening. Coming up like a fat rat. Big money, big cars, big bodyguards on his back. So it's difficult to get him. But I got the hook up with somebody who knows how to get in contact with him. Hit him like this and like that. Let him know that I'm looking for a big fat dope sack. What ends the spin, so let's rush it. If you wanna... WildTalkRadio.com